I think at 36, you know, I'm just in a different place. If you ever want me to be the bachelor, I'll do that.
Things really played out wonderfully for me. It's easy to get wrapped up in the environment. It was definitely dramatic.
What drama?
Hello, Internet.
Hi, everybody.
How many episodes have we started just like that?
What do you mean?
I say hello, Internet, and you say hi, everybody.
Well, I mean, you know.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Half of them, because you start the other half.
Right, but you usually say hello, Internet, and then, you know, that's your thing, if you will.
It's my thing.
It is your thing.
I've been drinking.
You've been thinking?
I've been doing some thinking.
And drinking.
And I'm doing some drinking.
That's right. Women be shopping.
I am full of apples tonight.
Adam likes a cider over any other sort of beer-type alcoholic beverage. You know, he's into a lot of sugar, so if he's not drinking a cider, he's usually drinking a Moscato.
Yeah, give it to me juicy. That's what I say.
Is it full of grapes? Is it full of sugar?
Well, this isn't
grapes. Then we're down, girl. Yeah.
This is apples and sugar.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
What a night. And by what a night, I mean what a terrible night. What a terrible night, I mean this guy doesn't deserve anybody.
Well, the hometown dates usually are the times when you really get to know, like, somebody's backstory. Obviously, we are never going to recover from the greatest hometown date of all time, Dean going back to Aspen to meet his father for the first time
his
in, like,
mystical father.
5 years or 2 years or however long it was. I mean, there will be nothing more uncomfortable and worse than that hometown date. So these dates were pretty mild in comparison until we get to Lauren B's mom.
Dean is in love with Leslie M because he's a human being.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, if you guys are watching the Bachelor Winter Games, which we are not,
we are
clearly
not.
But we have
ears everywhere.
We read the news.
We read the internet.
So Dean and Leslie Murphy are now together, and good for her.
Good for them.
Good for
them. I mean, nobody is good enough for her, but he's pretty damn close.
He is perfect for her. They're both beautiful.
Well, don't go too far. She is perfect.
For you?
Full stop.
Okay. Oh, she's just perfect. Got it.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
No man alive is capable of matching Leslie Murphy.
Even you, Adam?
I couldn't talk to her
you
for 30 minutes.
You could not talk to her for
30
minutes.
I was in her presence, literally arm's reach of her for 30 minutes, and I don't even think I breathed.
Well, I don't anticipate that the amount of time that we spend talking about you not being able to speak in front of her is weird at all.
I don't imagine we could spend enough time talking about it to cover how much time I didn't talk in front of her. I'm a man of words.
We could get there.
I was not with her.
You were not.
Man, she's so hot.
So the hometown dates usually are very well structured. They're ordered in a certain way. We find out new things about the
west to east
the
is
people.
The order they are structured.
This year, they've done it west to east. Usually
yes.
They don't, but this is just how it shows up in the editing process. So
Correct. We,
of course, will start with Kendall's visit to Los Angeles to spend time with her family. Now, I don't know how this happened, but Kendall's twin sister's name is Kylie. What? Really? Kendall and Kylie?
You know what? Like, as somebody who isn't,
and
on
they
TV.
Are the older of the pair. So again, how did this happen?
As somebody who isn't on, like, TV for a living,
sure,
I like to tell myself, you know, there's just some people are born with it. Some people are just born Kendall and Kylie, like they're just made to be on TV.
Sure,
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, my name is Taylor, and people don't confuse me with Taylor Swift. It's because they know I hate her.
They do confuse you for a man sometimes.
They sure do. I get a lot of that.
By name alone,
especially
not by
looks. Especially with people that are emailing me from Europe. Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
Who's that?
When are you changing that last name?
Excuse me?
We'll take this off the air. What?
This is an offline question.
Let's table that for
Let's
when I'm
table
sober.
It. Yeah.
Anyway, so this date, they go to LA, and so all four of the dates, they meet up, and they do their own little cute date, and then they meet the family.
Mini activity.
So the mini activity for Kendall in Los Angeles is to visit a warehouse with a bunch of dead animals that Kendall has made to look like they're still alive. Go on.
And you know who does things like this?
Necrophiliacs.
Serial killers is what I was going to say.
Well, you could kill and then have sex with. That's totally in bounds for a serial killer.
Mind hunter, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Mind hunter. I mean, this is definitely a symptom of something a serial killer would do.
Kendall is animal mind hunter.
You know, burning stuff, killing animals, maiming them, and then you just slowly graduate to, oh, okay, sleep with the animals.
The dead cat.
You can't walk with the animals, sleep with the animals. That's it.
That's what Kendall's doing.
She's Dr. Doolittle.
That's what Kendall is doing, you know? Like, she takes the living part of the animal and then also the dead part and kind of marries it into one. Sort of like her eyes. She has one living eye and one dead eye, but they're both cohabitating the same person's face.
Is one of the dead eyes also Lauren B?
Oh my God, I have so much to say about her.
Unclear.
We need to hold it for
Lauren
B's
date. We
have
to wait. So, you know, Ari continues to bring up the fact that Kendall is quirky. He is using that word so much where I am convinced he has no idea what it means.
He's saying it like it's a positive thing.
Yes. Being quirky is something that, like, people say about somebody when they've interviewed someone and it's like, oh, that was a weird response to my question.
It's a very PC way to say you don't ever want to see somebody again.
Or weird is a thing
like,
to say.
Quirky is like, yeah, she's quirky, like, she twirls her noodles in a spoon. Or, like, she's quirky, like, her socks match her shirts.
Or
like,
he eats his salads with chopsticks.
Like, yeah, like, that's quirky.
Sure.
Like, she plays with dead animals and pretends they're alive again. That's beyond.
That's not quirky.
You're a step and a half too far over
and
the line.
As we will discuss a number of times during this date, and we'll definitely get into it during Tia's date, but there is, you know, Ari is pretty vanilla. He's kind of a square. So for him to get into these relationships with these women that he sort of creates these aspirational, like, oh my God, she's so quirky and interesting, or oh my gosh, she's so much like this. I think he's trying to make himself more interesting because, as he said,
that's true.
He is, you know, a sleepy sort of 36-year-old real estate agent from Scottsdale, Arizona. So he is finding himself attracted to women who are more interesting than him to in turn make him interesting. And that is not working.
I think he's finding himself attracted to Becca and then he just has to have three other women.
Also true.
It's just weird. So he's on this date. They're taxiderming these rats, right?
Taxiderming.
Is that taxiderming?
That's the word. I mean, I know I'm not questioning that it's not the word because obviously you know it. But
I don't know if that is a word or not. But the point of words is to convey meanings, and taxiderming is pretty clear.
There's a restaurant next door to us called Derm. It's really great.
Just
but you said, but you
if
said,
you took a taxi to Derm,
whoa,
would you be taxiderming? Would something around you be dead but also alive?
Right.
So they're doing.
Well, you
this
pay tax at Derm.
Wow! What if you paid a tax on the tax to on the taxi to Derm?
And these are for our Midwestern people. There is tax on food out here, so you pay tax at Derm.
It's no wonder they're going out of business.
There's nobody in that place ever, but the food is really good.
Yeah, the food is fantastic.
It's great. And, you know, and for our San Francisco friends, better than My Ivy. Mm.
Yeah, but also more expensive. And like,
yeah.
I'm looking for quantity.
I mean, you get what you pay for, but, you know.
Oh, I'm looking to pay for very little, but get a lot.
We'll add a link. They don't deliver, but you can pick up.
We won't add a link. I'm pretty sure they're out of business as of today. They were closed today, and it's normally open on Monday.
It was a holiday.
Yeah, but restaurants don't close on holidays. They stay open because people are still eating.
Ooh.
Nobody takes a holiday from meals.
We'll report back.
So anyway, so they're taxiderming these rats.
Sure, that was cute.
Ari's like, man, this is so crazy. This is so weird. Like, obviously uncomfortable. Like, man, it's so crazy. Kendall's like, it's so beautiful.
I mean, it's pretty weird.
No, dude.
Like, I mean, let's just full stop. Like, it's weird.
Calm
like,
down, my girl.
I know. Oh, boy.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
Too soon.
It's life, man. It's life. What else happened on this date?
So they go to Kendall's home, the home of Kris Jenner, where they speak to Kendall and Kylie's parents. Kylie just had a baby with Travis Scott. And, you know, they've got a lot of problems with
I think you're in the wrong family.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
I think you're in the wrong family. I'm talking about the taxiderming Kendalls of Los Angeles.
Not the Jenner Kardashian family.
Yeah, I think you switched to Bravo somewhere in the middle of that.
It's on E, you jerk. And you know it. You know the show is on E.
I really don't.
You really do!
I really don't.
You really do. We watched The Soup for so many years and you don't know the Kardashians are on E?
No.
Not every show that's about a family of riches and crazy people is on Bravo.
I don't know if you think Kendall's family is rich. This is like...
They live in L.A.
They live in the house that Dead Animal built.
That's true.
It's not
So Kendall and Kylie are fighting over, you know, basically which black guy they're going to start dating.
No. I'm back on the Kardashians.
I'm so sorry. So the family, to me, seems like they're not into this.
No family. Of the four families, none of them seemed into it.
And they were really... I mean, this family out of everybody was the most sort of indifferent about the experience, I think.
So...
Or they... I mean, I don't know. Kendall's family was like... Ah.
Here's something I'm really happy about. In all four instances, Kendall's was the first.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, I want to know if I have your blessing to marry your daughter.
To bend the knee, if
which
you
is
will.
A dumb thing.
It is a dumb thing. We've discussed this many times on the show because, I mean, in this day and age, it is 2018. Sure, yes, we can all argue the whole asking the parents' hand for marriage, but like, you know, there's no dowry to put down. Like, people are living together earlier than they used to.
Like, no, but like,
is it a common courtesy? Sure. Do I need to ask permission?
There's a respectful and nice way to say, I would like to be a part of your family if it's okay with your daughter.
Because that is really the conversation, asking someone to be a part of your family. It's not really a conversation about, can I have this person? That's different.
No.
Those are two different weird things.
Like, it's 2018. We're past the ownership thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Ari's like, listen, Dad, Mr. Jenner, or whatever. Oh, Mr. wow. Jenner? I guess that's a loaded title.
It's not loaded. It's Mrs. Jenner.
Well, yes.
Excuse me. Caitlyn's not married. It's Miss Jenner.
I'm mixing a lot of these families together.
Yes.
He says to Kendall's father, like, listen, do I have it? And Kendall's dad, like all of the other three dads, all four, well, parents.
Parents
because of Becca.
Well,
right?
Kendall's dad basically said, did you see me run the decathlon and win it? Oh, no.
No, it's the wrong family.
Sorry.
Everyone, basically all four of the parents tonight said the same thing. They said, you know what? I'm not really that into it, but if my daughter is into it, then by all means, she's the person who matters. Which is, I think, is very nice.
It is. You know, and I think early on in the show, when we started doing this show, you can kind of tell the cultural shift that has happened between the families and, you know, and sort of the children that they have that are on the show. Now, granted, there's more popularity around The Bachelor, more social engagement, so it's a little bit more part of the cultural lexicon.
A lot of pomp and circumstance.
Is what I'm talking about. But the other part of it is that, like you said, there is no more ownership kind of thing. Like, that's not part of... And even for, let's say, families that would be a little bit more traditional, like, let's say, Lauren B's family or Tia's family. You know, even they didn't say that. And, you know, is it because, you know, being engaged is not as big of a deal? I would argue that it still is. You know, we can have that conversation separately of someone who had been engaged before and then breaking off an engagement and what that all is like. I don't know. It's just me.
Let's not. I think it's just because of the, like, toothlessness of all of it. Like, if you're like...
I'm sorry?
No, if you're like, Dad, listen, I want to get married to your daughter. And he's like, nope. You don't just go... Okay, well, then I guess we'll just have to... You go, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway, and you're going to deal with it.
And you are an asshole for
it's
not being
It's ceremonial.
Cool
it doesn't
yeah.
It doesn't actually... It's not like you're actually asking permission. It's not like if you apply for a driver's license and don't get it. Like, then you can't drive. It's not like that.
Right.
It's like... It's just a formality.
Well, and I would... wouldn't even call it a formality. It doesn't mean you can't propose. And it's not like it has to be the father either. It is both of the parents. You know, I mean, it's...
And Uncle Gary.
Oh, jeez. Uncle Gary. Woof. So we leave Calabasas, and basically what we find out is that Kim has given birth to another baby whose name is Chicago. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
I think you're the wrong family.
Again. God, they shouldn't have named the girls Kendall and Kylie. I can't decide who's who.
It's very strange.
Obviously, these two were Kendall and Kylie before the other Kendall and Kylie.
Yeah. But they're not the Kendall and Kylie.
Sure.
It's just weird.
So Ari felt like the date went really well, and he can't wait to hang out with Kanye again.
Kylie.
So
Kylie has two operational eyes. What happened? How did Kendall fall short of this?
Well, maybe because they were twins. You know, she was sitting on top of the other one, and she got all the eye juice.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, or maybe, like, watching your own sister's sex tape has something to do with, like, eliminating your vision in one eye.
It's definitely gotta be it.
I don't know what the science is on this.
Sure. So, it seemed like the date went well. One of the things that we will talk about, and will come up later, Kendall was very clear with Ari that she was in love with him, she's falling in love with him, but she's not ready to get married yet. And this has become a bone of contention, I think, two seasons in a row. So one in Rachel's season with Peter, and then now with Kendall's season.
You just want to bring up Peter. You can't just bring up Peter whenever you want.
Yeah, I can. Are you
this
kidding?
Is half of my show, too, okay?
Peter got a new couch, by the way, and also his dog, Daisy, just celebrated her first birthday. It's very cute.
Wow, good for him and his couch. I'm sure his living room is very happy.
It is.
Yeah, a new couch does a lot.
It does. It really brings together the room.
It's kind of the centerpiece of, like, your whole home.
Totally. I mean, he actually asked social media what color he should get. He got gray.
Well, yeah, gray's a great color for a couch.
Obviously. So, but we continue to hear about these things.
Gray's a great color, okay? It looks good.
In a general sense.
It looks good.
Everybody loves gray.
If a dog pees on it, it's not really a problem.
Daisy would never. She's a great dog. So Kendall is not ready to get married, and that is an issue for Ari. Ari being a 36-year-old person who is sort of putting himself into this whole thing again, doesn't want to get embarrassed, and I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to like about Kendall, except she's unique. This is the thing. Like, whatever. At the end of it, we could have just made this entire podcast 10 seconds. Just go, Kendall is unique, Tia is poor, Becca is winning, and Lauren is
Tia
dead.
Tia is poor! Not Tia being poor, though!
I'm sorry. That could have been the whole podcast.
That could have been the entire thing. But where's the fun in that?
I don't know. So, what if we did a 10-second episode one week?
Let's try it.
No, I could never.
Next up is Tia, who's from Wiener, Arkansas. And I don't know if you guys have been following my Instagram stories, but what a great opportunity for me to use all of the new phallic emojis that have been added. What a fun time.
Phallic emojis?
Phallic. Penises.
Okay, that's what I thought you said, but I...
Bananas.
I can't hear.
Eggplant. Baguettes. A carrot.
Those are all remarkably ovular.
And a hot dog.
Wow.
Meow, kitty cat.
Cylindrical objects.
Phallic.
Fruits. Stop it.
Phallic.
Stop it. I've had so many apples.
That's enough.
I can't take all these jokes.
So, Tia takes Ari on another one-note race car date. You know, of all the times that Ari has gotten
into... Wait, he races cars?
Yeah, and also...
First time I've ever heard of
listen, it. Listen, get this. They call him the Kissing Bandit.
No.
He loves to make out.
You guys can't see this on the radio because there's no visuals, but I just pushed my glasses up as though, like, hold on, I'm not believing this. Maybe if I could see clearer. I did. I pushed him right up.
You sure did. So Tia, you know, basically tells Ari, you're going to meet my mom, my dad, and my brother. And then when we do meet Tia's family, they... surprisingly, are not the ugliest of the bunch of families that we meet. And then on top of which, her brother said something very interesting to Ari while he was chewing by the way. He said, you know, I haven't really been in Tia's life a lot. And I'm thinking to myself, this is an older brother. Was he in jail?
He could have been in jail. Also, are you just... removing all of the you knows when you're paraphrasing what he says. Because he says you know between literally between every word.
I'm sure he knows so, he's saying it.
So T and Ari go in this racing thing, whatever. It's cute. Ari, whatever. Like, zero finished races ever. Don't act like you're a race car driver.
Whatever.
Whatever. You know, and then Ari gets all packed up. He's like, oh my God, a working class home. What do I do? Bring a lunch pail?
Oh my God. Then, he looked like a thumb on a hand in that living room. And God bless these people for serving this very straight-laced Caucasian man pigs in a blanket. I said, these are my people.
Yeah. He comes over and they're like, we are going to drink beer and eat pigs in a blanket around the coffee table or something to get to know each other. And Ari's like, pigs in a blanket, what is that?
What is that? What kind of delicacy is that? Now, see, the question with pigs in a blanket is, what kind of dough do you use? Now, obviously, we know that we get the cocktail weenies, all beef, fine. But is it the Pillsbury crescent rolls that you use?
Because obviously
those are the best ones.
But I mean, they're working class. They're not
I know.
Poor.
I'm sorry. They don't live in a trailer.
They can afford croissants.
Excuse me. Sorry. Delicious, though.
I think so. Ari's like, pigs in a blanket. What is that, duck?
Now, are you making your own sauce? Do you make your own sauce or you just do it in mustard?
Pigs in a blanket?
Yeah. You make
sauceless. No, you make... It's just a cocktail weenie in bread.
No. Hey, I know. But when you eat it, do you dip? Are you a dipper? I'm a dipper.
Well, yeah, you put it in mustard. You put
okay,
it in straight yellow mustard.
Not ketchup. Too sweet.
I don't need ketchup.
It's too wet.
I don't need ketchup with regular hot dogs either.
What are you talking about? You like ketchup, though, right? We've talked about this?
With fries.
Okay. Sweet potato fries?
Well, yes, obviously.
Okay.
But on a regular like hot dog bun combo, I'm going regular yellow mustard,
sure.
Not the Dijon or the brown or anything.
No.
Well, regular yellow mustard.
Got it.
Going a lot, like 2 to 3 times the average amount of pickle relish.
Sure.
Going jalapenos.
Yep.
And then pepperoncinis if they're available.
Nice.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, a lot of zip, a lot of zang, a lot of tanginess.
Yeah, one a little bit vinegary.
Yeah.
Kind of just tangy.
Here's the problem with me. Love ketchup.
Taylor does.
I love ketchup so much. Anyway, so Ari and Tia's family, there's a class issue that comes into play here. Now, as we get to the end of this episode, we will discuss a little bit why. But I mean, truly, you know, there is also something about Ari wanting to be married and thinking about what the family structure is going to be like. How can my family and Tia's family interact with her? I almost see the vision of, I don't know if you've ever seen The Beverly Hillbillies, a masterpiece of cinema. It's like when, you know, at the end of the movie, there was obviously the wedding, and the Clampett family was out here, was shooting guns at the wedding and, you know, acting like, you know, traditional country folk. And then the lady that Jethro was marrying was sort of this prim and proper lady. That's what I imagined the wedding between Ari and Tia to be like.
Yeah, I don't
It worked
know.
Out in the movie.
I don't know. So, like, he comes in and he sits down. And he's like, you know, I'm Ari. I'm a big city race car driver from the Netherlands.
Who loves Les Mis.
And they're all like, never heard of it,
never
is,
heard
what they,
of it.
Is what they say.
Yeah, and they said, Les Mis, I ain't never seen that play. Is it on the TV?
What is that?
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, I mean, in all honesty, her family's like, mostly stupid, but pretty nice.
Yeah.
With the exception of her brother, who turns out to be pretty nice, but he's very gruff at the beginning.
Quite.
He's a gruffer. He's like big and buff. He's totally bald, got earrings in, this enormous wad of chewing tobacco.
Huge.
The entire time they're sitting there, he's just going to town on this thing. And he's saying, you know so much that you don't even know what he's talking
you
about.
You don't know.
Which is the irony.
Yeah, actually. You know what?
You know, it's just like, you know.
And her father called him Ari and not Ari.
In his defense, I doubt his father knows anybody named Ari ever.
Well, he did use the Google to find out about his general background. The internet's an amazing tool.
I think he was given some help with that.
Sure.
I don't think he went, Ari Leyendyke, let me Google it.
I'm sure he was very okay with saying Leyendyke as well. So one of the other things that Tia's family mentioned, and that Tia mentioned pretty widely in the state, was that Ari is so different than all the other guys that she's dated and that she's been in some pretty rough relationships. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that seemed to be a dark time in everybody's backstory. And Ari loosely touched on it. Yeah, that saying that, yeah, Tia has told me about some of her past relationships. Now, with Tia being friends with Raven, you know, I'm curious to see if some of the relationship issues that Raven had are similar to what Tia was having, or is this just something that happens in Arkansas?
Hey, I don't know. I don't know a lot about dating in Arkansas.
Well, it sounds like there's it's pretty rough and tumble out there.
Maybe everybody just kind of sucks.
That's probably true.
I don't know. Like, Tia's hot.
She's very ambitious, and I'm sure that the guys that are out there, they do not respect her sort of need to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I have a really good friend from Arkansas. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Totally unrelated.
Yeah. Is he from Wiener?
No.
Wiener.
No. He's from he's from Fayetteville, I think. Oh. Northwest Arkansas, which is basically like a regular state and not like the rest of Arkansas. Anyway, whatever. Tia's date was, it was just kind of weird. It was poverty tourism a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
poverty porn, as I like to call it.
I don't think anybody's like going to a porn site and typing in poverty, like looking it up. I don't think that's really that frequented, but tourism, I'll give it.
I don't know. You never know what the upper middle class is into.
Let's keep going.
Okay. So next up.
Let's move slightly further east to Minneapolis for
Minnesota.
For Becca's hometown.
Did it look cold here or what?
I think it was cold.
I think this is the first coat.
The winter in Minneapolis. Hello. So yeah, cold.
Yeah. I think this was the first coat that Ari's ever worn. He looked very uncomfortable in that coat.
Yeah. He went there and somebody was like, somebody from The Bachelor.
And he's got some nerve as somebody from the Netherlands.
So he was like, put on this coat. And he's like, what is that?
What is this coat?
What is a coat?
I've been living in Scottsdale, Arizona this whole time. It's always hot.
I moved to LA for this Bachelor thing. What a coat.
A coat.
What is that?
How do you spell that? Start with a K?
So they go there, apple picking, cute. Like, this is a classic date thing. Like,
sure.
Whatever, you're kind of eating them, you're kind of, you know, like, oh, let's make pies.
Now, I've got a question. Can you eat those apples? Are those things pasteurized?
Of course you can eat those apples.
I'm sorry, we didn't do this.
I did this.
I know, girl, but you know, you lived on the farm, didn't you? You always tell people.
No, I didn't live on a farm.
You always tell people you lived on the farm. I'm Adam, and I lived on a farm.
Somebody scrub the like 100 hours of our podcast and find me saying that.
You do. You always say I lived in a cornfield, which implies you lived on a farm.
I did grow up in corn country.
So this is a reasonable question to ask you. Can you eat apples right off the tree? Or are you going to get sick? Are there worms in it? What's going on?
You can eat them right off the tree.
I don't want to.
I mean, you shouldn't, but you could.
Exactly. That's all I'm
asking.
But
you could.
So,
You can't. It's impossible to go, like, fruit picking without trying some of it. That would be dumb. Apple's a little bit more difficult because they're big. It's not like a blueberry where you just slip one in your mouth, you know? It's like, you know, these things are big. If you eat it, if you just, like, bite into it, it's going to be noticeable. Everyone's going to notice. Anyway,
it's like the Wizard of Oz.
Speaking of apples, I've had too many tonight.
Yeah, so we go to Becca's family's house. Now, we have not heard a lot about Becca's sort of backstory. I think maybe once or twice they've mentioned that Becca's father passed away when she was 19. I don't remember this.
I don't remember it either.
Maybe we weren't paying that much attention to
the show. I thought
it was
the drinking that made me forget.
Definitely maybe the drinking, or it was definitely maybe, I just don't care. So Becca's father passed away. So the people that Ari is meeting. Is that right?
Yeah. People.
Is.
Singular.
Okay. The people that are meeting Ari. Is that better?
The family
better
that is meeting
the family
Ari.
That's meeting Ari.
Wow.
All of it's wrong.
I should be better at this.
And you are wasted. So Uncle Gary is sort of taking the place.
Uncle Gary is the new dad.
Is the new dad.
A new dad.
A new dad. A new dad. Uncle Gary is taking the place of Becca's father. So we walk into Becca's family house and everything is khaki. The people are khaki. The walls are khaki. People are wearing khakis. The floor is khaki. They ate khakis. Everything is beige. This is what the Midwest
they
is
drank
like.
Khakis. They drank khaki out of them. Khaki cups and they cheers the khaki before it.
I keep saying khaki and there's all this spit just welling up in my throat. Khaki.
It's a rough time. So, khaki. It's a rough time. So Ari sits down and like he sits down for a second and then Uncle Khaki is like, listen, I need to talk to you.
Uncle Khaki, a.k.a. Uncle Gary.
Right. So they sit down and Uncle Gary immediately starts crying like, so, you know, Becca's dad died and now
I'm here. He had a brain tumor and then Becca's mom also had breast cancer. Yeesh.
People in the Midwest are survivors.
They really are.
So they sit down and Uncle Gary cries and then he just reminds everyone how good Becca's dad was, which I believe.
I believe it.
People from the Midwest are good people.
Really, totally.
The best people, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's basically it.
Well. Like,
the whole fam. First of all, the whole family is ugly.
No! They can't help it!
Oh, man.
And then you see Becca and you go, how did all this happen? You know, I mean, were the genes all recessive or like, is it, you know, you have, you do the four quadrants and stuff. I'm like, was she in the far right bottom corner or like,
got a bunch of people happening? With like 22 chromosomes.
Was she adopted or, you know.
I don't know. You see these people and you're like they should have ears.
Sure.
Like, they should have other parts of their body.
It's like, you know, how sometimes when you look at the gene pool, like, everybody has all of the recessive traits. Like, all of the recessive traits together don't make an attractive person. Like, a widow's peak, a hitchhiker's thumb, dimples, a gap, and something else.
Full-bodied khaki.
It's like, stop. They're doing their best. But Uncle Gary did kind of initially come with this sort of, he's not into a lot of foolishness. Uncle Gary is a pastor, and I'm really curious to know if he knows about the fantasy suite, because he would be furious. And then
I don't think he does. I don't think he knows how to operate a television. A video box, as they might call it.
All right. He definitely has a VHS, and it is only one tape. And it is Shawshank Redemption.
He's taping this.
He's taping this.
His appearance on TV, like the rest of us were all DVRing it.
Yeah.
No, he's taping this.
He's the guy that calls you to say, my iPad isn't working. And you're saying, Uncle Gary, you're using your remote. Please stop using your remote as an iPad. That is what you're doing wrong.
Yes. Whatever. Becca's family is nice.
I
think it's easier for him because he's already picked her.
Right.
Like, she's going to win. Her family, ugly on the outside, more or less indifferent on the inside, just like all of them.
Again, and they are very, you know, Ari is asking the family about, you know, Rebecca's, Rebecca, who is that?
Wow.
Excuse me, I got very formal all of a sudden.
Are you reading her birth certificate?
It's the Midwestern thing, we have a connection. He's talking about Becca sort of to say, can I bend the knee with her, and then they're saying, who cares, girl? We trust Becca, if she wants to say yes, then we gonna have it.
He says, I'm falling for her. Everybody keeps the same thing.
Listen, I never want to hear the phrase, I'm falling in love, or I'm falling for somebody ever again in my life.
If you say it,
I'm going to burn everything in my possession. Thank God I have insurance, because they keep saying it on the show. If we were using that phrase as a drinking game phrase, I'd be dead by now.
If we were using that phrase as a drinking game phrase, I'd basically be like what I am right now.
Or you'd be Lauren B.
Maybe I was using that tonight. No, I would never be Lauren B.
Oh, boy.
I can still get out words in a row.
I guess.
That's it for Becca K, right? It was overall pretty harmless.
Yeah, it was a Midwestern date. They hated Ari, much like everybody else's family did. Who cares?
There's nothing to like about him.
No.
Let's go to Lauren's date, which I believe was in Virginia Beach, but didn't actually bother to verify.
Unclear. So they go horseback riding and making out. Like, basically, that was the date. Again, Lauren B., her storyline is that she has not really opened up to Ari. They had a slow start, as they like to say.
Yeah, hard to start fast when you're dead.
Yep. And so, basically, she told him, the people that you really need to be worried about are my dad. My family is going to be really tough on you. And within good reason. I mean, Lauren was just engaged a year ago, and now she went on The Bachelor and might potentially be engaged in the next few weeks. That's crazy. I would be pissed too. Reasonable.
How are there two men who are this interested in Lauren B?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any... I mean, she's skinny, I guess.
And you won't... You don't like this, but she's got a great head of hair.
No, she doesn't.
She does.
She's a great head of blonde hair, which is basically like not having a great head of hair at all. All
right.
So anyway, so they go horseback riding, whatever. They kiss around on the beach in a lighthouse, whatever. Like, I imagine that kissing Lauren B... is like when you've never actually kissed somebody before and you're practicing on like your arm or your pillow or something and like you're into it and then it's not kissing you back because it's not alive.
Yeah. Let's go back to Lauren B. Here's what I'd like to say. Ari walks in, already a tough crowd. This is Hitler's dream.
He's very nervous.
Everybody's blonde. It's a military family. Like, yikes. And it turns out the person that Ari needed to be worried about was not Lauren's dad, but Lauren's mom. And what I like to call, she was serving shade looks, downtrodden sort of eye rolls, and the all-time favorite, the disapproving hum of a conservative white woman. Let me do it for you. Everything somebody said. I'll be Lauren B. Adam, you be Lauren B's mom. Mom. Mom, I'm really in love with Ari. Well, Mom, what do you think about him? This was my kink for the night. I love Lauren B's mom. She could not be pleased. She could not be pleased.
You have to, like, slightly, kind of, like, sharply cock your head. Just a little bit.
Definitely
every
an
time,
eye roll.
Every time.
And then, wait. And then you have to end it with a sigh. That was it. I wonder what it's like being in the bedroom with those two.
I don't.
Gross.
So Ari goes to their house, which I will affectionately call the morgue. It's full of dead people.
It sure is. And Ari was thinking to himself, like,
they look dead. Everyone is colorless.
Oh, boy.
Like, they make the sounds that dead people make. Like, are you talking, or is that just gas escaping?
No, at the New Yorker, they don't have anuses. That's who these people
are. This is Virginia Beach, not the New Yorker.
In Virginia Beach, these people don't have anuses. And then... Also, Ari was mentioning a lot during the evening, you know, this was a really tough crowd for me tonight. I don't know. And I immediately thought to myself, also posted to the Instagram story, that Ari, maybe this is a Book of Mormon family and not a Les Mis family. Very clearly, they just don't understand the plight of the poor.
I think that's probably it. Although Ari doesn't understand the plight of the poor either.
Also does not, which is probably why he likes Lauren B's family and identifies them with a little bit more than some other families. Okay.
Lauren B's family has less personality than she does, which is saying something.
It sure is.
As, again, the only standout quality about her is her lifelessness.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that I will mention that we did not see a lot of on this hometown sort of episode, we didn't see a lot of siblings. Sure, we saw Tia's brother, but We've also been watching a lot of YouTube videos featuring Owen Wilson saying, wow.
I'm into the Olympics, right? So I watched this video. Sure. I watched this video that was the slalom skiers, but every time they hit the flag, it was Owen Wilson saying, wow.
And you know how Owen Wilson says, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
But it was a different one every time.
Wow.
Because he says wow so much.
Wow. I think we should make a supercut of Owen Wilson saying wow and then Lauren B's mom disapprovingly humming.
Huh?
Anyway.
I can't even keep a straight face.
Lauren B. felt like the date went really well. Lauren B.'s mom could not be bothered.
She didn't say one word the whole time. She just
not one
muttered.
She
what a bitch.
What a bitch. And then it turned out Lauren B.'s dad was actually really cool.
Yeah. At the beginning, he's like, have you ever been in a military family before, son? And he's like cracking his knuckles like spitting at him.
Yeah.
And then Ari was like, no, not really. And dad was like, whatever.
Cool.
It was just a question. Like, right. I didn't mean it.
Just asking you. And then Ari was like, yeah, I went over to Iraq with a bunch of other race car drivers to hang out and like fly in these planes. He was like, wait, you did what?
Yeah. And Ari, and it, Lauren B.'s mom's like,
I love her.
We're the only two people who think this is funny, I think.
I doubt that. I doubt that strongly.
What, did anything else happen on this date?
No.
Her mom was very tough. And by very tough, yeah. I mean dead.
I mean, she was a quintessential sort of disapproving mother.
So, like...
I bet her and her mom have some very challenging conversations.
It is literally beyond belief that a single person is attracted to anyone in this family.
Honey,
I cannot understand how a person could possibly be attracted to Lauren at all.
I keep telling you that she... The fact that she has consistently basically... seem to not care about Ari makes his whole body vibrate on another frequency. He loves.
Is that some form of masochism or yes, what's going on?
Men
there?
Are so stupid. They're so dumb. And Ari women are also very dumb. Okay. So we get to the rose ceremony.
I promise, like two or three more, and like, that's the end of it.
I don't think so. We're going to do it 20 more times. So we get to the rose ceremony, and
this 20-minute rose ceremony, which is way too long
crazy.
To give away three roses.
Exactly. So you know that something's getting ready to go down. So we get to the rose ceremony. We're back in L.A. before we go to Peru for the fantasy suite dates.
Where else would you go?
Exactly. And so Ari is having a challenging time kind of getting over the conversation that he had with Kendall and Kylie about Rob's relationship with Blac Chyna. And so, I'm sorry, I did it again.
I think you got it right this time.
Right.
Rob was the brother.
Right, Rob is having a tumultuous relationship with Blac Chyna, and, you know, Dream is the baby that they share, and Dream is also the cousin, nephew?
Yes, that was in the show that we just watched.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a long story. You know,
well, yeah, like OJ was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
OJ was there. So he's having a challenging time with Kendall about her sort of indifference to being married right now, that she's in love with Ari. She's falling in love with Ari, but she doesn't necessarily want to get married, which obviously right. is the point of this whole show. And for some reason, people keep coming on this show and saying, I don't want to get married. And then you go, you idiot.
Stop bringing Peter back into this.
There's always a reason to bring Peter back into something.
Yeah.
Until next season, there's always a reason.
He's like, Kendall, I'm not sure you want to get married.
And she's like, I don't. So, but I really love you.
Kendall's like, I don't really get it. But also, the glove didn't fit. And he's like, well, I guess you have a point.
You really do. Yeah. And then they started talking about her modeling career. And then they talked about that Pepsi commercial that she did.
And then he picked her anyways.
He did. So we get to the end of the road at the end of this episode. And we lose Tia. I mean, color me surprised.
Well, of the four, then she has the most personality by far. So what I'm saying is, you can guarantee we're going to lose Kendall next week.
Oh, I mean, definitely.
You were really talking about slim pickings for personality.
That's true. But I think for the reason that he let Tia go, I really
couldn't
think...
take the poverty.
I really do believe that. I think it really was a class issue for him. Like, you know, the difference between him being a multimillionaire, former race car driver,
son of the most famous race car driver of a generation.
Exactly. And then you're marrying or trying to marry this girl from Wiener, Arkansas. I mean, it just is not going to work. And, you know, it's difficult to say, but like the two things are not equally yoked, and it's true.
But think about it this way. You get to sleep with the three women that you don't eliminate, so keep Tia in because she's the hottest by like 10 miles.
That's true.
Like, but a long way.
But in terms of being married to somebody, like, that is a thing that you really do need to factor in. The families, how the two of them are going to get together and get along and all that kind of
stuff.
Whatever.
He's going to pick Becca anyway.
I think so. But, I mean, you know, Tia...
No, he needs to keep in Becca and then the other two that he wants to sleep with.
Right. And I...
So Tia should be still there.
Tia should definitely still be there. And one of the things that I did find... you know, pretty off color about Tia that I will somehow have to deal with. You know, I do feel like there were a couple of moments in the show, especially how she treated baby Becca, and especially this time when Ari took Kendall sort of out to talk to her a little bit extra, that she, I don't know, there was something a little bit off about her personality. She was a little catty.
She talks when she's nervous.
Yeah, maybe she's a nervous talker, but it just seemed like she was sort of not nice.
Her family can't afford the mute button. They just, she has to talk.
I think if she had some chew in her mouth, it would prevent her from saying things that
I can't
didn't
believe
mean.
How much he had in his mouth.
He was dipping her like brother, crazy.
It wasn't like...
It was a big dip.
It wasn't like a pinch of tobacco.
It was a huge
it
wad.
It was like a lipper of tobacco.
It was a huge wad. It was like, you know, big league chew wad of tobacco.
It was a lot of
it
tobacco.
It was a ton. I do not want to see the inside of his mouth.
I don't either.
So next week, it's a double episode, but we're not stupid. We're only giving you one.
We're giving you one.
Yeah, so we will do...
We'll be back on Tuesday morning, like always.
We sure will.
You'll just hear Women Tell All, and then also the Fantasy Suite Dates. And the thing is, nothing's going to happen on any of them, except maybe we'll have a bit of a clearer picture of who the Bachelorette is going to be.
Exactly. And I think the bold predictions for that for next week is definitely going to be they're going to talk to baby Becca, one. And then two, they're definitely going to talk to Crystal. And anybody else, it's fair game. I don't think they're going to talk to CN. Adam thinks they are.
I think they will. I think they're going to offer Crystal some sort of spot in like whatever is the mid-season between the Bachelor and Bachelorette thing. Are they doing Bachelor in Paradise again?
Oh, definitely.
They'll put her on that.
Yeah, she'll definitely
be on VIP.
They'll put
baby Becca on that.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, CN, let's talk about it. Could you be the franchise?
I think they could, but you know, again, it really matters about, you know, whether or not they're really willing and ready to have another diverse candidate on the Bachelorette. We'll see.
I think they should.
I definitely think they should.
I can't watch any of these other people.
No.
Speaking of that, bold predictions time. There's nobody bold left.
No.
Including Ari. So there are no bold predictions for me.
Nope.
It doesn't matter. He's going to pick Becca, I think. Lauren's dead and Kendall's not even looking at you half the time.
Nope.
That's his joke about one of her two eyes.
That poor girl. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, our power rankings for the week, let's go 3, 2, 1. Adam, who's your three?
Lauren. No part of me has ever been attracted to Lauren. She's the worst.
My number three is Kendall because she's not ready to get married, and that is going to be the deciding factor. The only reason that he kept her around was to give her more time.
Wow, he should have kept tea around to sleep with her.
Wow.
Kendall's my number... Wow.
Wow.
Kendall's my number two.
Okay. Becca is my number two. And Lauren B's my number one.
Becca's my number one.
Yeah. I mean...
I am not attracted to any of the three women left.
Sure. Sounds like you.
Pick a random person off the street and I would be more likely to be into them than any of these three women.
What about the guy that yells in the middle of the night?
I'll take a brunette woman over at that.
The homeless guy that yells in the middle of the night, though?
What's his hair like?
I think it's good.
Oh, man! I want it to be known that this Power Rankings, for the first time in like 110 episodes, I'm making it under protest. Because I don't think any of these women is a number one, or a number two, or a number three. I think they're all just like a,
Wow.
that's it. I have no more interest in this season.
Cool.
You should have an interest listening, because I'm still doing the show with Taylor. Like, we're interesting, but the actual television portion
right.
is just garbage.
So basically what you're looking forward to next week is 10 seconds of us recapping the show, and then another Tia being poor, and then another sort of 50 minutes just talking about Black Panther. So look forward to that next week.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, love you. Wakanda forever.
I feel like I'm the last one of my friends to really take that step.
I did fall in love.
It's been a little surreal because I didn't know how this would turn out. I was a little skeptical. I
really had strong feelings for more than one person. It is funny that nickname's hilarious.